Good morning, Drift Run Church. I'll tell you what, between those hands of his, is that right? He has the power in his hands. There's those two nail-scarred hands to lift us up, to set our feet upon a solid rock, and praise God, send us in a direction that you know what we cannot do by ourselves. You cannot, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how great you think you are, no matter what you've done in this life or what you've accomplished, you cannot save your soul. Only Jesus Christ is the one that's able to do that. There remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. If you do not accept Him as your personal Savior, I want you to know there's nothing. You have no hope. You have nothing beyond this life. You better enjoy this life while you're here. Because if you do not accept Him, you will never have no hope of ever seeing eternal life. As far as heaven goes, oh yeah, you'll spend eternity, but it will not be in heaven. It'll be in a devil's hell. Amen? That's where you will be. I believe. I believe this morning that you, that there is someone here this morning that needs Jesus. I believe there's someone here this morning that needs to grab a hold of Him and accept Him as a personal Savior. I feel that this morning. I feel that this morning. I'll tell you what, I believe in my heart that there is somebody here that needs Him. I believe that. If you want to turn with me to the Proverbs, the 14th chapter, I'm going to read the 4th verse. Proverbs 14:4. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. Let's say that again. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord, and thanking You again for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk, Lord. I pray, Father, that You would just take these words, Lord, and use them for your glory and for Your honor, Lord. I pray, Father, that as a church, Lord, that we would grasp this concept, Lord, and that, Father, that, Lord, that no matter what, Lord, that we would always look to You for our strength, for our mercy, for our understanding, for truly, by Your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. And amen. This obscure little verse right here, I believe, has a very interesting meaning to it. I really do. If you look at it, if you look at this verse, you can see that there is a tension in this verse. If you look at it, what is it trying to say? Is it between a clean barn? You take that crib and you translate it out, it means barn. Between a clean barn and a field barn. And you know what? I got to look at it that, and the Lord started dealing with me on that scripture. I've noticed that same type of tension in people's lives sometimes. I've noticed it in churches sometimes where there's a tension there on whether or not, you know what, to have a nice, neat little place to worship, or whether there's a place where, you know, you can come in and it'll be filled with the goodness of God. I've noticed that in individuals' lives where, you know what, they try to put it out there like, you know what, I've got this nice, neat little way which I want to live my life. And you know what? I don't want to complicate it with a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, I don't want it messed up. So you know what? This tension exists even in our lives today if we just look and we can see that it's there. It really is there. Between how much inreach and outreach there are in churches, that how much tension of teaching the Word of God and how about the importance of social outreach for our church. There's tension there in all things that we do. You know that? There is, whether we know it or not. As in everything we do as we walk with our walk with Christ, you know what? There has to be that perfect balance between what we do and what we think is acceptable and what is not, right? There has to be that perfect balance. Proverbs 14:4 illustrates the tension between, and I believe it does it, between the church, organized and tidy, and keeping the church full and growing. I think there's a tension. Also, on an individual basis, I believe it illustrates the tension between growing in God's Word, growing in His Spirit, letting Him have full control, going up to His house on a regular basis, and I believe it's saying keeping up with our families, and keeping up with our jobs, and our homes, and just everyday life. Folks, if you've been on this road long enough, you know just exactly what I'm talking about. There's a fine line between wanting to be on fire and serving God And also wanting to, you know, the things in this world, the family things that we have to take care of. There's that fine line. And I believe that tension, if you want a sweet-smelling, picturesque little show place of a barn, you know what? Just keep the oxen out of it, and you won't have to worry about it no more, right? You know what? You won't have to do that. But you know, you better not put any oxen in it if you want that way. But I want to tell you something. But if you want a barn that's full, and then you better get some oxen to do the work. You understand what I'm saying? If you want a place that is full, whether it's your life, whether it's a church, brothers and sisters, there better be oxen in it. There better be those in there that are willing to work and step up. Amen? Clean barns are nice looking. But if you think about it, what is the purpose of a barn? What is the purpose of a barn? A barn is there to be filled, is it not? That's what it's there for. You see, the best time of the year for a farmer is whenever it comes harvest time, and they can do what to that barn? They can fill that barn up, right? That's the best thing. That's the best thing. So, brother said, you know what? There's no doubt in my mind when it comes to this thing we're talking about right here today. The best thing to do is to have the barns filled, right? Is to have the oxen in the barn and to have it filled. Praise God. You know what? To those farmers, those oxen were the tractor. They were the pickup. They were the bulldozer. They were the wrench. And they were all wrapped into one, praise God. And also the ox had a source. You know, had a source, you know, it troubled also them. Listen, you know what? They had to feed it. They had to shelter it. They had to doctor it whenever it was sick. And you know, do you see the tension here? When I'm talking to you about this verse of Scripture, do you see what I'm saying? Dealing with an ox is worth all the trouble if you care about filling your barns. It is. But if you care about a clean barn only, then by all means, get rid of all the oxen and don't worry about it, right? And brothers, then you won't have to worry about cleaning out your barn because it will never get messy. Amen? But if you care about the barn being cleaned, then I am not trying to say that someone's lost whenever they're dealing with these situations in their life. But what I'm trying to tell you and trying to bring across the point this morning is, you know what? If you want to truly get on fire for God, if you truly want to have the experience of God's Spirit dwelling in your life and setting you on fire for Him, I want you to understand something. You better get the ox in your barn. You better get it in there. If you're afraid to get out of your neat, comfortable comfort zone, you're never going to feel the full power of God in your life. You never will. You'll just keep coming right to church. You'll keep coming here and sitting on the pews. You'll keep listening to maybe me preach every week. You'll keep listening to the teaching. You'll keep listening to people testify. And you're going to sit back and you're going to wonder, how can I not feel the power of God in my life? Let me tell you how you don't feel. You don't have the oxen in your life. You don't have it. If you're afraid to do that, but the ox out of it, but if you want all God has in store for your Christian walk, get it in there. The ox was used as an example to be a servant, was it not? The ox was. That's what an ox was used for, to be an example of being a servant. An ox was not especially beautiful or entertaining. An ox wasn't. It was awkward. It was smelly. But it was always useful. An ox back then was always useful. Can we say the same thing about our walk with the Lord today? Can we say that? You know what? You may be back in. You may be saying, you know what? You may be saying to yourself, well, I'm not the smartest. I'm not the prettiest. I'm not the most popular one. How can I do God's work? That's who God wants. Do you understand that? He can take the thing that looks so bad, the thing in your life that looks so bad, that He brought you out of. God can use that and turn you around and make you a witness like you've never been before. But you've got to be willing to work. You've got to be willing. The ox did everything his master asked him to do. Everything he asked him to do. The heaviest to the lightest, to the dirtiest to the cleanest, the ox was used. At the end of the day, the farmer would take care of that ox, would he not? He would take care of it. One of these days, I want you to understand something this morning. If you are a true and faithful servant, you know what's going to happen? Matthew 25:26. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Greg, one day I'm going to experience the joy of the Lord. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I want to take as many people with me as I can take. I want you to go with me because I want to tell you something. You will never experience anything like serving God and the joy of God in your heart. Amen? You will never experience that unless you have that in your heart, unless you have that in your soul. Praise God, I just want to tell you what, I'm not one of the selfish. I want you all to go with me. I want you all to go with me. I don't want to be up there by myself. You know what? The Bible says is that the Bible truly convey to you what heaven is about. I could try with every adjective and noun and every pronoun and everything I could throw out there. It will not even come close to describing the goodness and the glory that awaits us that know Jesus Christ. Whenever, you know what? You're just willing to hook up and are you willing to do that and work for the Lord? Because I'll tell you what, that ox did everything his master asked him to do it. And praise God, we've got to be willing to hook up to that harness, do we not? We've got to be willing to do that for the Lord, amen. The ox was used to prepare the soil for the crops also. You know that? You know, are you the type of servant who God can trust to prepare the soil, the planting of His Word in someone else's life? Are you that type of servant here this morning that when you go out to a lost and dying world, you know what? You don't have to pull the Bible out and start reading it to them. They should be able to read the Bible in your life. Every step that you take, every word that you say, every action that you do, you know what? We are representatives of the King. Amen. We are representatives of Him. When we're out there in this world, I'll tell you what, some of them will never step a foot in a church before. But you know what? They'll watch you. They'll see how you do it. Are you willing to step up to the plow and do it? You know, are you willing to plow the ground? Matthew 9:37, then saith he unto it, but the laborers are few. I'll tell you what, look around us. We're few in number, maybe here this morning, but praise God, step out and do it. Galatians 6:8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What do you got? Just like the oxen preparing the ground, are you the same type of an individual to go out and prepare the ground so others can enjoy the fruits of that? One watered and one got the increase of it. Praise God. I'll tell you what, that's what happens sometimes. You witnessing may cause somebody else to get saved, but you may never see it at your church, but praise God, they're going someplace else. And that doesn't matter. Ox was used to draw large amounts of water. You know that? That's what that ox was used for. If you are willing to be used of God, there will be large amounts of water coming out of you. Days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want you to understand something. Just like that ox gathered great amounts of water, I want you to know when the Holy Spirit life and you're set on fire for Him, it said, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. Not some stale, stagnant body of water, but rivers constantly flowing out of you. Praise God. This morning I want to tell you something that should make you want to shout up and down the aisles of the church. I'll tell you what, that we can do, be what God, the Spirit-filled belief. This spake He of the Spirit, which they that believed on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because of Jesus was not yet glorified today. And I want you to know that He sent the Comforter back down here, that when you get on your knees and accept Him as your personal Savior, the Spirit comes into your life, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. We have the Holy Ghost in us now. Those brazen cannons should flow as a symbol of the Savior. Did you know that? It was used as that. In the Old Testament, were used as sacrifices and peace and sin offering. An example can be found over in Judges, the 26th chapter. Remember what Gideon did? It said Gideon took his father's two oxen, and the first thing God told him to do was go up there and tear down that old altar that his father had built to Baal. He went up there and he tore it down. The next thing God told him to do with them oxen was sacrifice them for a sin offering for his dad. He told him to use both of them. So Gideon used the oxen to remove the idols, then used them as a sin. Oxen represented two things, right? They did. It represented two things, just like Jesus does. Christ did on Calvary. He brought atonement for our sins. They did both of them. Amen. I'll tell you, the ox was used to do things that humans could not do. You know what? A use of Jesus Christ to save us. And praise God, that's, you know what? That's what it was. He paid the price for our sin for Scripture that the ox symbolized. Let us look at what I think that barn represented also. I believe the barn is a symbol of your life, is what I believe it is. I believe your personal life and also the life of the church. And your personal life is also the life. This question asks you, would you rather have your barn clean or would you rather have your barn filled? And if we're using that as your life, I want to ask you a question this morning. Would you rather have your barn clean or would you rather have clean? Ask yourself that this morning. Ask yourself that question. Not only the purpose of it, the answer should be you. The answer should be obvious. We should want our lives filled with the glory and the goodness of the Lord. Amen? We should want that. You know what? Too many of us waste. We want the jobs that fulfill us. We want a job that really fulfills us. Don't we not? Sometimes we're looking for that. We want a marriage that is constant romance and bliss. That always happens, right, guys? We want children to mess up or get in trouble. We want all that stuff, do we not? Kids want parents that always give them what they want, don't you? Right? Isn't that the way we... Let's be real. The clean, born myth is just a myth. That's what it is. Listen, all, and I say all, families have problems. You may never see them. You know what? All jobs have unpleasant tasks associated with them once in a while, right? I want to tell you what. There's no such thing as a perfect family. There's no such thing as a perfect job. And you know what? Whenever we get to learn that lesson in our lives, I'll tell you what, we will be a whole lot happier. Amen? Life can and will be from time to time very messy. It will be. May also be bold to make a suggestion to you. Instead of looking for a clean barn, we need to look for ways to fill the barn that God's given us. Amen? And I'm talking about our lives. I tell you something, listen to me. Try to figure out how that through God's help, through His love and mercy, with what God has for us, and go on about our business instead of worrying about somebody else. The next time you look at somebody else's life and wish you had their life, the grass is greener on the other side syndrome. You guys have septic tanks? Uh-huh. Where's the grass the greenest? Where's it grow the best? It's usually right over top of that septic tank, isn't it? What flows through it? You know what flows through it. I'll tell you what, the mess that goes through that septic tank, and that grass grows, the grass is greener, but you know what? That may not be the way. So the next time you're looking to see where the grass is greener on the other side, let me ask you this. With time you compare notes with somebody else's life, you may want your mess back. Amen? You may want your mess back. Let's remember that the next time we think the grass is always greener on the other side. So when those individuals look, listen to me. Once you compare, you may not want for that mess. The point being, a productive life can be a messy life. It can be that way sometimes. Our lives don't have to be perfect to be productive. Amen? They don't have to be. Stop thinking that every little thing in your life has to be perfect. It has to be down to the T. Whenever we serve the Lord, it's not going to be that way, right? It's not going to be that way. Down through the week, let's be thankful for what God has blessed us with. No matter how messy we think it is, how mundane, how repetitive we may think it is, thank God for your life down through this week. Thank Him for it. I'll tell you what, thank Him that He give you another hour, another minute, another day, another week to live on this place we call planet Earth, to do His will. Let's thank Him for that. So I'll tell you, God has granted you not another day. Matthew 24, 46 and 47 tells us, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Part of watching for his return, amen, we're watching, are we not? We should be. The Bible says we better be watching for His appearing. Amen? And I'll tell you what, whenever we're watching for His appearing, the thing that He wants us to do is take these mundane, routine little tasks that we think are so peddly, and we need to do them to the fullest ability that God gives us. Amen? We need to do that. Part of watching it is to do the small things and do it right. Amen? The good and faithful servant may not always have a clean barn, but I'll tell you this, in the end, he'll have a full barn. Amen? I'll tell you, he'll fill you up. I think the barn of 14:4 also has a symbol of the church also. I think it does. In human nature, we want the church to be what? A constant sanctuary, a place of peace, We want it to be a place of tranquility. We want it to be a place of beauty. Service will always be smooth and perfect. The facilities will be attractive and spotless. Right? People will always talk in quiet voices and always get along. You can laugh out loud with me if you want to. You know, when your little thing, when you text, it says LOL? Because that's just about, that's basically just exactly what that is. I've never seen, I've been in a lot of churches, I've never seen one like that. Never have I seen one like that. Where everybody gets along right to the T. Everybody just this and everybody's that. That's not the way it is. And I want to tell you something else, nor is it the way that the Lord wants it either. Amen? The only way to have a neat, spick and span, tranquil church is to have an empty church. That's basically about it right there. Because people, if you haven't noticed, are messy. We are messy people. And I'm not saying that as you come to the church dirty. No, I'm talking about people's lives are messy sometimes. Are they not? Matthew 22:9-10. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servant went out into the highways and gathered together all that they found. Now listen to this. Marcus and Yella, both bad and good. Did you catch that? Both bad and good. That's what he did. He said, and the wedding was furnished with guests. If you want a church that will get messy somewhere, if you want a full church, I want to read you something. I was looking at this, and I found something I want to read to you. This is a true story. A preacher. One summer during my college years, I was an intern for a church in, I'm not going to say the town, that had a booming children and youth program. While I was there, they had remodeled their parlor to make it more beautiful for the women's group to use. Since the hall in front of it was the way kids went to their youth rooms, the kids tended to hang out around and look into the room. It was pretty impressive. So the ladies decided to padlock the door. After all, they didn't want the kids to be tempted to come in and mess up that beautiful parlor. In the year after that, I kept track of things, as preacher goes on to say, that was going on in that church. I heard that one day someone forgot to lock that door. Some kid went in there, bounced around on the furniture, and broke the lamp. Well, the women's group had an emergency meeting right then, decided that they would pay to have a new entrance made for the children's department. From that time on, the children entered into an outside entrance and were banned from ever stepping foot in the wing of the church where the parlor stood. True story. But things didn't stop there. They also padlocked the kitchen, the office suite, and a few other parts of the church in order to protect them from these messy kids. I don't think it was a coincidence that within 2 years, their booming children and youth program dwindled to nothing. They had nothing. The parlor was clean, tidy, and beautiful, and usually empty. As it turned out, the children's classroom was also clean and tidy, usually empty. The tension between clean and filled, clean won, the church lost sight of its mission. That's a true story. Folks, when it comes down to whether or not we want our barns filled or we want our barns cleaned, I want to tell you something. We need our barns filled. Amen? Amen. People are the church's business. Why? Why? Because people are God's business. Jesus died so that the people could have a relationship with Him. No matter how messy, how loud, how troublesome that people can be, God died, sent His Son on a cross to die, that you know what? He could have a relationship with those type of people. So as God's servants, we entered the people business, folks. Raise your hand. Raise your hand here this morning. You're in God. You are people business. You're in God's people business. No matter where you roam, no matter what you do, remember that. Remember that the next time you think, well, things are getting a little out of hand or a little messy in church or in my life. You know what? I need to scale back on doing something for the Lord because things are getting out of hand. Remember that next time. Remember that the next time that what I read to you about that little church out in the Midwest. That was a true story that happened. That church lost just about all their membership because people got to the point where They didn't want the kids to come in the same way that they come into church. Is that not sad? Is that not sad that we get so intent on taking and keeping things so nice and neat and tidy that we leave Jesus out of it? We leave the Lord out of it. We leave His Spirit. We leave all that out. It's sad. It really is sad. Where no oxen are, The crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. Let's remember that. Let's remember that.